For our scripture reading, we turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We read of three different sections of this chapter rather than going through the whole chapter. The text consists of verses 9 and 10. We start by reading the first 10 verses. The sons of Judah, Perez, Hezron, and Carmi, and Hur, and Shobal. And Reiah, the son of Shobal, begat Jahath. And Jahath begat Ahumai and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hazel El Poni. And Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Helah and Naarah. And Naarah bare him Ahuzim, and Hefer, and Temani, and Haahashtari. These were the sons of Naarah. And the sons of Helah were Zerah and Jezoar, and Ethnan, and Kaz begat Anab, and Zeboba, and the families of Aharhel, the son of Haram. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Then we proceed down a little further. We're reading some sections where there are some additional comments made. We're going to read verses 24 through 27. 24 through 27. The sons of Simeon were Nemuel and Jamin, Jerib, Zerah, and Sheol, Shalom his son, Mibzam his son, Mishma his son, and the sons of Mishma, Hamuel his son, Zachar his son, Shimei his son. And Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters. But his brethren had not many children, neither did all their family multiply like to the children of Judah. And then lastly, we turn to verses 38 through the end of the chapter, starting at verse 38. These mentioned by their names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. And they went to the entrance of Gedor, even unto the east side of the valley, to seek pasture for their flocks. And they found fat pasture and good, and the land was wide and quiet and peaceable, for they of Ham had dwelt there of old. And these written by name came in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and smote their tents and the habitations that were found there, and destroyed them utterly unto this day, and dwelt in their rooms, because there was pasture there for their flocks. And some of them, even of the sons of Simeon, 500 men, went to Mount Seir, having their captains Pelatiah, and Neariah, Rephiah, and Uzziel, the sons of Ishi. And they smote the rest of the Amalekites that were escaped and dwelt there unto this day. So far we read from the Holy Scriptures. And the text we consider tonight is verses 9 and 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. Dearly beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we consider tonight a portion of this genealogy. There's a number of places in the Scripture where we have genealogies, sometimes lengthy genealogies. Sometimes we may wonder why this data is recorded. We know there's significance in everything that is recorded in the Scriptures. Some of the things that we take note of is we take note of the different lines that are recorded. We take note of how certain lines multiplied more than others, and that was referred to in one of the verses we read, verse 27, that it is specifically pointed out that some multiplied more than others. We also take note of the comments that are made, such as the one that we have here in verses 9 and 10, along with some of the others that we read. And there's obviously significance to the fact that God, when going through the list here, stops and makes a specific statement about a specific person, a specific family. Here, he makes a comment about Jabez. God makes a comment about Jabez, that he would have us know that he was more honorable than his brethren, or literally, he was more honored than his brethren. When it lists the genealogies, then it stops and it mentions this honored man. And it brings out a description of what he was like, what he sought, what concerned him. There are those that take this passage and would use it to promote the pursuit of carnal riches, carnal success. There are those that would preach that way and would say about Jabez, "Well, look what he desired. He wanted God to enlarge his coast. He wanted more land. And God granted it to him. And that if we ask, whatever we ask for, if we want our business to grow, then if we desire more prosperity, if we just follow this pattern here, look at the pattern that Jabez followed, and if we pray this over and over and over and over again, we'll start seeing the prosperity increase in our life." Some even use language and say, God wants to do that in your life. And if you pray this prayer, that will release that power that God wants to give you. They release the power and God will accomplish what He has been wanting to happen in your life. He's been wanting this prosperity. Follow this pattern. Keep praying this prayer so that this becomes like the model prayer that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Prayer. Told us when we pray, we should say this. There are those that would point to this prayer. Now, obviously, there isn't a problem with what Jabez requests. It is the case that what he prayed for the blessing of God, and that is indeed what we should request. But the question is, what is meant by the blessing of God? What does it mean to request the blessing as Jabez does here? Many people have the whole idea of a carnal idea of what a blessing is. The blessing is simply carnal prosperity. We understand that a man may have great riches and not the blessing of God. And a man may be richly blessed and yet may live in poverty from a worldly point of view. Spiritual riches, the spiritual blessings that are found in Christ, that's what we are seeking. That's what we partake of. This morning we saw signify that idea that we eat and drink Christ. All the blessings we think of that we receive in Jesus Christ. The riches, wisdom, and knowledge, the comfort of forgiveness, the power of deliverance from sin. And Jabez makes a reference here to his concern about evil. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Pious prayer, which God granted. And having partaken of Christ, having been blessed and nourished in our souls, we strive to go forward in each week, desiring to glorify our God, to be a people that are characterized by frequent and fervent prayer. A prayer like we see here, constantly coming to God out of thankfulness. We show our thankfulness chiefly by prayer. Praying for the blessing, relying upon God for the blessing, but praying with confidence to the glory of the name of our God. We consider this passage under the theme, The Request of Jabez. We consider, first of all, the honored man. And what we're told about him here. Secondly, the pious prayer. And thirdly, the granted request. Names, a lot of names are given to us here. We recognize that in Scripture there's significance to names when the Scriptures point that out to us. We're to look to Scripture to tell us what we're to recognize in the significance of names when the Scriptures point out that there's significance. There's a number of times in the book of Genesis where we read of this. A number of times in the book of Genesis when somebody received a name, there's a reference to the reason that the name was given. And there is an explanation here. So obviously there's significance to the name. The name Jabez has the idea of being, has a meaning of something in the sense of sorrow. Sorrow, sorrowing. And it's brought out by the fact that the explanation is because his mother bare him with sorrow. course, that makes us think about what was said in Genesis 3 at the fall about the sorrow. And the mother brings forth children with sorrow and the pain. And so she makes a reference here to the sorrow and says, I bear him with sorrow, and that's the name she gives him. There are other times where we read of somebody receiving a name that's related to something that happened at the time they were born. In 1 Chronicles, verse 7, and that's another thing we take note of, is we often look for similar events that are in the context. And there is in the context in 1 Chronicles 7, verse 23, we have another reference to somebody receiving a name that's related to what was going on. In chapter 7, verse 23, it says, and when he went into his wife, she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Beriah, because it went evil with his house. That name means in evil. That was his name, in evil. And it was because it went evil with his house. So he named his son that. We think of what happened when the Ark of God was taken and the child that was born that was named Ichabod. 1 Samuel 4. It says, well, starting at verse 19, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, which means no glory. No glory. Saying, the glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And of course, another example that we think that's similar to the name Jabez is the birth of Benjamin. Benjamin was not the name that his mother gave him. As you recall, in Genesis 35, verse 18, Rachel died. Another woman that we read of dying, giving birth. Rachel died when giving birth to Benjamin. And in Genesis 35, verse 18, it says, and it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni. And that means son of my pain, or son of my sorrow. But his father changed the name. His father called him something else, but his father called him Benjamin. So she named him Benoni, but his father named him something else, Benjamin. And that's, in the scriptures, we read of him as Benjamin. But that was the name his mother gave him. A name related to the event, the sorrow, at birth. And that's similar then to what we are told here about Jabez. So on the one hand, you read about the sorrow of the woman giving birth and the sadness of hearing that name. But then, the next verse talks about how honored he was. And how God makes a specific reference to him. That he was more honored than his brethren. That indicates there are degrees of honor. We see that elsewhere too. That phrase is not only found here. It's referred to also when making a reference to David's mighty men. And about one of them it says, he was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. So it lists a number of David's mighty men, and about some of them it speaks of them being more honorable than others. It speaks of the idea of there being degrees of honor. More honor. The idea of somebody being honored, that word actually has as its meaning heavy. Something that is more honored is heavier than something else. We kind of use a similar phrase sometimes when we refer to somebody as a heavyweight. That person is a heavyweight can be taken to mean, and it can be used in the sense of being more honored, powerful. From a spiritual point of view, when we talk about honor, though, and when we talk here, when one is called heavier, it's referring to him from a spiritual point of view, not from the viewpoint of carnal power, as some people might call somebody a heavyweight, meaning he's got carnal power. But here, it's referring to spiritual heaviness. More honored. Someone who is richly blessed of God. But that's what he was. He was a man that was richly blessed by God. And it describes the fact that he wanted the blessing of God. He desired the blessing of God. And one might say, well, others desire the blessing of God too. Others seek the blessing of God. And yet we recognize that even among God's people, there can be differing degrees in with which one is desiring. With a greater fervency, the things that God promises in His Word. So on the one hand, you can make the contrast between Jacob and Esau, a believer and an unbeliever. Jacob sought the blessing of God and Esau did not. Twins raised up in the same home, and you see that one looked at the blessing just from the viewpoint of earthly prosperity. That's what he was interested in. So if you were to ask him if he was concerned about the blessing, from that point of view, the way he's interpreting the blessing to me, yeah, he wants more stuff. But he was not interested from a spiritual point of view. Jacob was concerned about the blessing of God. And he sought it, not always the right way. And we see that, like when he lied to his father. That certainly was not the right way. He was a sinful man, as we all are. But we see that by the grace of God, he was desiring the blessings of the covenant. So was Jabez. And he was not only desiring them more than an unbeliever would, who wouldn't desire them at all, but also among people of God, as we grow and as we mature, as God works within us, we grow more so to desire, to seek the things that God promises to us in His Word. That's what Jabez did. And that's indicated by the fact that God specifically mentions it about this man. Now about Jabez, he was more honored than his brethren, and then describes it. He called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." It describes this man that was more honored than his brethren. "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed." He desired the blessing of God. And notice that that involved a concern about the evil. He didn't look at it simply as carnal riches, but he said that his concern was that God would be with him and that He would keep him from evil. He shows that his concern was the blessings that are promised in the covenant. He longed for them. Now, there are differing degrees among us too. The blessings, we think of the blessings that God promises to us, blessings of wisdom, the riches of wisdom and knowledge that are found in Christ. Well, we desire those, but in differing degrees. You can see that. You can see that to a certain degree. Only the Lord knows the heart. But you can see there are differences. Even in one's home, sometimes one can see differences. Even in one's home, one can find that talking about the things of God is a lot more common with this one than with this one. Now, there can be other reasons for that. It can be that one's more easily talks about serious matters and the other one does not. There can be different reasons for that. Part of it can also be that one has a greater desire for these things, a greater interest in understanding the Scriptures, so that when this one reads the Scriptures, they're often wondering, why does it say this? Why does it say that? What does this mean? And wanting to understand something. What a joy that is, too, in parenting, to see that a child wants to understand. And then we often all together grow, because they'll often ask you a question that you really don't know, and then you've got to look yourself, and then you're growing, too. We're all growing together as we look into something and delighted that we're learning together. And you can see that in catechism. You can see the difference between a child that just simply wants to know what do they have to know if it's going to be asked, say, in a review or something, and somebody that is quite attentive to the instruction, and wants to understand things. Even asking questions. Now, again, sometimes people want to ask questions. It's not that they're not interested, but that they're afraid in the group. It is the case that you can have some people that won't ask questions in a group. But then you meet them one-on-one, and they'll ask you all sorts of things. And you can talk about many different things in a smaller setting with them, but it's harder to do it when there's other people around. We recognize that. There can be different reasons for it. We recognize it is also the case that some are just they're concerned about the blessing of God. They want to grow in wisdom and understanding, but some seek it in a greater degree. That's solely the work of God in them. The reason why Jabez did was because God worked that in him. And that's the reason. He was honored. He was honored by God. The soli of grace. He didn't deserve the blessing any more than anybody else. But he was one that was really interested in this blessing. He sought it. And that's indicated by the fact that Scripture would specifically point him out. Oh, that I might be blessed. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You know, it's important for each one of us to think of. To what degree do I seek that? Do I seek to grow, to learn? That question comes to the minister of the word too. The minister of the word is laboring in the word and doctrine, but the question is, to what degree is he striving to grow himself so that he's learning new things? He's growing in his understanding of the Scriptures. That he's striving in his work to grow, to understand more. Right? Looking for God to guide him in that. It's true of all of us. We should all look at ourselves and say, to what degree am I really seeking to grow? Now, not only in understanding, but then also spiritual growth seen in our lives. You know, we say the Lord's Supper. Who's the Lord's Supper for? It's for those who desire that their lives might be more holy. And we all have only a small beginning. Even the holiest one of us. There's degrees. Even the holiest one of us has only a small beginning. And yet, by the grace of God, we do seek to grow. We're to grow in our love. We love one another. God says we're to grow in our love fervently. See that you grow, increase in your love, in the fervency of your love. To what degree do you desire that? To what degree do I desire that growth? What do we pray for? We see his desire here in his prayer. And that makes you and I think about our prayers. What do we pray for? What do we request? How fervently do we pray? We look at his prayer. We look at what he requested. It says he called on the God of Israel. He believed the promises that were made to Israel. The covenant promises. So he called on that God, the true God, the God of Israel. That's who he called on. He prayed to a sovereign God who could actually grant him what he requested. He believed that God could do this. And he believed he could not do it himself. When he said that thou wouldest keep me from evil. He did not think he could do that himself. When he asked God to enlarge his coast, he did not think he could do that himself. He went to the God whom he was confident could do it. The sovereign God, the God that is almighty, the God who is merciful, who forgives sins for Christ's sake. That he came to that God who would grant blessings for Christ's sake, believing that he would receive them. In his days, the Christ was future. For us, we live in a time when the Christ has already come, and we seek the blessings that Christ hath already purchased. But now, specifically, some of the requests that are made. What does it mean when it says, enlarge my coast? Because, of course, that's a big question right there. What does that mean? That's one that people will latch a hold of, as was already mentioned, and look at it as a simple in a carnal way. I mean, it may be the case that for a child of God that his business grows. He's an honest, a hardworking man, and his business grows. That may be. Or it may be that he has great adversity and his business may not do well, but he may be rich in the blessings of God, as was pointed out. What does this mean? What does it mean? The phrase coast is a word that means border. Enlarge my border. And it is a reference. There's a reference to the same idea in what God promised to Israel when he talked about the promised land. In Exodus 34, verse 24, it speaks about the promise of the promised land and how God would enlarge their borders. So in verse 23, it says, thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. That was the promise of God. I'm going to cast out the nations. I'm going to enlarge your borders. And then interestingly, in that connection, he said that when you go up thrice a year like you're supposed to, that the Lord, who's the sovereign God in control of all things, nobody's going to desire your land when you go up three times a year to the house of God. He promised he was going to enlarge their borders. And so we think about the references to the promised land in the old dispensation. We recognize Jabez is praying at a time in the old dispensation. And we think about the promise of the promised land and dwelling in the land and how it points to the idea of resting with God. Resting with God. Resting with God has the idea that you believe that Christ did all that was necessary to purchase your salvation. If we didn't believe that, we wouldn't be able to rest. If we thought we had it relied upon ourselves and even a little bit for us to have communion, that if it was dependent upon us to get into or to stay into that relationship with God, we wouldn't be able to rest. We'd know we'd fall out. But we have rest with God, peace with God, knowing that Christ fully accomplished all that was necessary. It is finished, as he said. And we rest with God. The idea of resting with God in the promised land, well, we today rest with God. We believe the truth of what He has accomplished, His finished work. We commune with God. We dwell in the land where God is with His people. That's the place where God is with His people. Well, God is with us. You have communion with Him. He's with you. And as those who are with God, there's proper desire for growth. There's many references to a proper desire for growth. But in what sense? In what sense is it proper to desire growth? In a spiritual sense. That's why many people are not interested. They're not interested in a spiritual sense. But a spiritual sense is real. Spiritual does not mean make-believe growth. It means real growth. For example, Psalm 119 speaks of God enlarging our heart. And when talking spiritually, that's a good thing. In Psalm 119, verse 32, it says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. That we desire spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. We do desire that. Another thing that's brought out is the idea of the growth in family, in our intergenerations. Growth in that way. Now that is brought out in the context. And that was part of the reason why we read some more of it, of the context, is it speaks of growth in one's generations. Shimei had 16 sons and 6 daughters. His brethren didn't have many children, but he had 16 sons and 6 daughters. And then in verse 38, these mentioned by their names were princes in their families, and the house of their fathers increased greatly. So you have the idea of their house increasing greatly. And then it speaks about how, about them with regard to the land. They found fat pasture land and good, and land was wide and quiet, peaceable, and so on. We see the increase of their house. Now we can apply that today to seeking the blessing of children. For the church, it may be the case that we're not married. Or it may be the case that even if we are married, that maybe we can't have blood descendants. That may be the plan of God. That doesn't mean that God's blessing does not rest upon us. Sometimes people can feel that way, but we know that that's not the case. It means that for that individual, it may not be the will of God for this one to be married. Paul brought out that if one is single, talked about the blessing of God in his own life as a single man. And some are married, but it's not the will of God that they have blood descendants. And yet what a blessing they can be to other people in their own life. And that's the thing. We look at the children of the church and helping our brothers and sisters in Christ and growth as God gives us children, children of the church. We regrow, we rejoice, we see them as a wonderful blessing. Where many people in the world don't look at it that way. But we are thankful. We desire there to be this growth. Growth from within in the realm of generations. Also growth in others coming in from outside. That idea of growth in that sense is also mentioned in the scriptures in Isaiah 54. Verse 2, it says, enlarge the place of thy tent. So another one with enlarging. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. The Gentiles. The nations. Brought in. And our desire is that there would be more that come in as we bear witness. As we look for opportunities to bear witness to others. There's a spiritual increase that it is proper for us to seek from the God who can grant it. We want God's hand to be with us. When he says that in this prayer, he's wanting God to be with him. He brings out that what he wants is he wants God to be with him. That thine hand might be with me. One might think, well, doesn't everybody want God to be with them? Many people, when they hear God speak, they run away. Like Adam in the garden, they hear God speak and they take off. We would too. Hear the Holy God speak, we too would be inclined to run away. But God comes to us and brings us the word of the gospel, the comforting word of the gospel, and assures us that we're forgiven, that he loves us, even as he brought that word to Adam and his wife, spoke about deliverance by the seed of the woman, the comforting words of the gospel. God comforts us. He assures us of his love. He infuses into us, our canons say, infused into us is a consciousness that God loves us. He infuses into us faith, obedience, and a consciousness of his love. He infuses it into his elect people so that we do believe. We do obey. In the new man, we delight in the law of God. We know that God loves us, and we love him because he first loved us. And loving God, we want him with us. Thought thine hand might be with me. It means he wanted God with him, guiding him, upholding him, directing him. And that's what we want. When we talk about looking to the Word of God, we're looking to the Word of God, desiring God to guide us from his Word. We pray for the guidance and we look to his Word and we see how he's guiding us. We listen as we gather. We're receptive to the things that God says. We're submissive to what our Lord tells us. We want God with us. What we dread, what we don't want to do, is do what's evil. That thou wouldest keep me from evil. Reminds us of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us for Christ's sake. And then we follow up that request for forgiveness with a request for deliverance. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. That's what we want. Deliverance from evil. And so we pray that. Deliver us, not just me, but deliver us from evil. So his request here was that God would keep him from evil, that it may not grieve him. And now with that statement, that makes a connection between verses 9 and 10. Because one may wonder, what does verse 10 have to do with verse 9? Seems like you talk about verse 9, and then you go on to a different subject in verse 10. The word that's translated grieve there is a word that means sorrow. Pain, grief, sorrow. And it's related to the word that's used. We see that word in verse 10. In the name, Jabez. And then we see that the woman's statement, because I bear him with sorrow. So that in the first verse, there's a talk about the sorrow, the grief of bringing forth a child and the naming of a child, something that reminds one of that. And then that child with that name grows up and talks about what concerns that person is evil. Keep me from the evil that it may not grieve me. not simply talking about pain, but keep me from the evil, recognizing the sorrow, the grief that comes because of sin. Keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. That's what that child whose name was Sorrow requested when he grew older. And God granted his request. He sought things that God had promised. He believed that God could grant them. And he did. He grew. He increased. And so do we, gradually. Sometimes we may wonder if there is growth. But it is true that we do. We recognize with physical growth that when you look at somebody from day to day, and the growth is slow. And of course, the physical growth comes to an ending point as far as the height of one's stature. But we recognize that spiritual growth is something that happens. God works in us more faith. We do grow. We do mature. Gradually, as we hear and as we discuss, as we believe, as we receive the Word. We're receiving the Word by the grace of God, and we're growing. The blessing of God, it makes us rich. That's what's said in Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Interesting it says that. When we're talking about sorrows, talking about the blessing, Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. We recognize the sorrows that we go through in this life as part of God's plan. Our life is one of many sorrows. But the day will come when the full realization of what God has promised will take place, and there will be no sorrow. We marvel to think of that actually will happen. There will be no sorrow, nor crying. We have but the beginning now, and a small one at that, but a real one. God is granting that. God gives us honor. God honors us. Even as he honored Jabez, God is the one who honored Jabez, putting his name down here. God gives us the spiritual honor. Our praise is not of men. It's God that honors us. Men may despise us. Men may speak evil of us. But God honors us. What a blessing. How amazing. God works in us the desire to pray this, and then he grants us what we pray for in answer to our prayers. God not only works in us the desire to pray it, he works in us the very act of praying, so that the whole thing is of God. He infuses in us faith, obedience, and a consciousness of his love. He gives us the desire to pray the prayer. He works the very act of praying, and then he gives us the blessings we requested, which he worked in us to pray. It's entirely of God. The Lord granted him that which he requested. Certainly, as we think of that, we're to think about how God answers prayer. Even as we say in the end of the Heidelberg Catechism, Amen, it shall certainly be that the Lord hears our prayer. He grants, when we pray in Christ's name for the things God has promised, when we pray in faith, God grants us these things. He really does. We are growing. Our children are growing. He's blessing us as a church and churches. He preserves His people. Out of thankfulness, may we glorify Him. May we show our thankfulness in our prayers and live to His glory. Amen.